It is hard to believe. Can you believe it that, you know, another year is, as they say, in the books? Very hard to believe. At the stroke of midnight tonight, we're giving up the year 2017. Where'd it go? We're replacing it with the year 2018, right? At that point in time, it's going to be out with the old. It's going to be in with the new. We like that feeling anew, right? We like that new feeling. This feeling of new, as in New Year's, it brings on a feeling of nostalgia. We like nostalgia. Nostalgia causes us to stand back. We reflect on the moments in time we've had, the people we've shared these moments with. You know, we may even start to sing. We might sing about old acquaintances we forgot. Even after all these New Year's, we still don't know what an Auld Lang Syne is. New Year's Eve, for some families, you know, a time of tradition. We may have parents or uncles or grandparents or friends over to the house. We might get together at restaurants, other people's homes. When I was a kid, I even remember having a congregational New Year's bash in the church basement where I grew up. This started at about dinner time and it went to just about midnight. I can't remember if the adults were having a very good time. I don't remember that. But I do remember repeatedly running around in circles with my friends from youth group that night. It was a lot of fun. We're meeting directly after worship, by the way, kids, don't get any ideas. But for some of us, you know, when New Year's Eve rolls around, we may just decide, hey, we want to stay up until that stroke of midnight, as it traditionally came to be in my house. My family would, you know, quote, watch the ball drop on Times Square. We would watch that one ton of confetti splatter. Did you know they have a ton of confetti live on TV? And then there are those of us that don't want any part of that. And that's okay too. We say, hey, we go to bed about 9 p.m. We know after all these years, we've tried it. Experience has been a good teacher. We know there's no difference between the 31st of December and the 1st of January. Nothing mystical, nothing magical happens between 11:59 and 12, even if it is Y2K. Remember that? Speaking of Y2K, I wanted to share this with you briefly. If you remember right, you know, the media had so many people convinced, you know, what, every computer in the world was going to stop, what, the end of the world? Who knew really what was going to happen? And then that didn't happen. Well, except for me. See, I proposed marriage to Becky when the ball dropped for the year 2000. She said yes. I don't know about everybody else, but for me, that night, my world certainly began. Good save, preacher. Began? But we know most of the time nothing mystical, nothing magical happens. New Year's Eve, night at midnight. No Cinderella pumpkin, no guaranteed permanent inward desire to actually keep one of those New Year's resolutions, as Gerald mentioned. Do you keep those? You know, this is out with the old, in with the new. I looked this up this week to go along with what Gerald told you earlier, and I found out that the number one current New Year's resolution being made is to get healthy. That's number one. Get healthy. That's a good one, right? Get healthy. Number two is to get organized. That's the second one. I don't know about you. I actually wonder what the least popular New Year's resolution is. I wonder about the least popular. I'm thinking some guy out there probably said one day last week, this year I resolve to eat more squirrel. Alexa, I'm looking for squirrel patty recipes. You know, out with the old, in with the new, why not? But the Bible's neither for nor against Christians making these New Year's resolutions. I don't know about eating squirrel, but reflecting back on the year with friends and family in a God-honoring way. But the Bible, interestingly enough, and it got me thinking this year, this week, as I was thinking about my message, the Bible does have plenty to say about Christians and an attitude of out with the old, in with the new. Has plenty to say. In fact, it's really to be the Christian mission. It's really where it all gets going. You know, but what happens when we miss that part? Really, the Christian life is out with the old and with the new, right?
Really, the whole Christian life is that way. Maybe we've just accepted Christ as our Savior. Maybe we've just repented. Maybe we've just been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We've done our part. We followed God's plan of salvation in with the new, becoming a Christian. We've got our sights set on eternal life. We know that we and the rest of the church, the body of Christ, we're going to be with God for eternity, forever and ever. What a good first step in with the new. But yet something old can still start rolling around in the back of our minds, right? Something old. We might go back to church worship. We might maybe start helping out with some things, maybe communion. Maybe we pass a plate every now and again, decide to teach a small group or fill a spot on the praise team, join the cafe, catering crew, you name it. Maybe we get to the point where we're here doing something every single time the church doors are open. We're here in this place so much we even end up taking home a key to the place because we know the preacher doesn't get up half the time until the crack of noon. Then we reach the point where in the back of our minds, we're bothered if we miss an opportunity to have a voice in something that's happening within this building's four walls. We can get there. And as this is occurring, something else simultaneously begins to happen to us. What once seemed new to us, the so-called Christian servant experience, it starts getting old. We begin to run out of gas. Our spiritual fuel tank starts to show empty. We can't seem to come up with a way to fill it back. Have you been there? Do you know people who have been there? So we just kind of coast on fumes. We at the same time we're coasting on fumes, we're worrying about whether we're doing enough for God while we're coasting on fumes. And then one day, we're done. Enough of all this church stuff. It's just not working out. It's too much of a bother. All of a sudden, we can't even get here for Sunday worship. We've had enough. We've burned out. And the question is, what happened? What happened with that person? Didn't we do all the right things? Didn't we keep up for God as we were expected by others? Didn't we do what was required in the Christian faith? And the answer is no, we didn't. And that's why we burned out. It's hard for us to understand with our old ways, because they persist in our lives. But the Christian experience has never been about meeting requirements nor doing all the right things or keeping up with other people. The Christian experience is not like the social club down the street or the clique we wish we could have kept up with in high school. All that stuff. That's old stuff. That's the old way of doing things. There's a new way. There's a new way for Christians. In the old way, in the worldly way of doing things, what? What were we taught? To mindlessly but loyally work ourselves to death for a culture that didn't care. Right? But following Jesus is different despite what some of the cult members may proclaim. Christianity is actually not defined by activity. Now, don't misunderstand me. Yes, our following Jesus will be shown by what we do. But following Jesus is ultimately not about what we do. Following Jesus is about who we are. Christianity, in with the new, ultimately, is about having a brand new identity. Ultimately. Read 2 Corinthians 5:17 with me. This is what in with the new is all about for the Christian life. Paul writes the following. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The old has passed away. The old ways of doing things have passed away. Christianity is not about working ourselves to death. Christianity is about a change of heart towards God and man. It's out with the old, in with the new. Somehow we get mixed up with this. We think that what we do determines who we are in Jesus, but who we are in Jesus determines what we do. You see where we have to start every day? Think about it, my friends, and this is the hard part. We can very easily work ourselves to death without being in Christ, right? We don't need Him to do that. We may have known some people who were very fruitful workaholics, but never once professed Jesus in their lives. The point of Jesus is not to work harder. So if we're trying to start with fruit instead of allowing ourselves to be first changed by the Holy Spirit, this isn't going to last for long. We won't be new creations for real or for long. Won't happen. We'll just try and try and try and try some more to be a good person until we finally say, well, this doesn't work. I can't be a good person and give up. But that's the old way of thinking. That's the old way of thinking. If we're Christians, we have to give that kind of thinking up, because the newness of Jesus can't take shape unless that old is gone. I have a statistic in here that might sound familiar to you. How many, what's the percentage of people that actually keep their New Year's resolutions? We heard it earlier. 8%. 8%. And I wonder if it's because so many of them lack a spiritual focus. They start with the physical. They start with the physical. Christians don't start with the physical. We start with the spiritual. So what do we do? Well, instead of trusting in our own work, which is what the world has taught us to do, the world has taught us to trust in what we can accomplish. The Christian is called to trust in the work that has been done for them. And there's a big difference. Big difference. That's the way following Jesus is going to work out. Jesus himself says to Nicodemus in John 3:5, what does he say? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so if you take nothing else from the message this morning, friends, from the New Year's Eve sermon, it's to remember that something mystical, more than mystical, magical, more than magical, does happen when we come up out of those baptismal waters. When we put on Christ, when we put on his work at our baptism, because that's what baptism is Christ's work, not us. It's not like meet the new boss same as the old boss. It's not like, oh wow, it's 2018, same as 2017, felt like 5 minutes ago. It's we are new people. We are new creations. New. When we become Christians, we're a completely different animal. When we're born of water and the Spirit, we have a new identity. And so all that we worked in our old lives is just not going to work out anymore in the new life. All that our previous life of sin before Christ taught us won't be compatible with our life in Christ. And I think this is the part we miss. And it's easy as a new believer to miss this part because we're so used to this in the world we live. We think, well, I better keep up looking the part of these people when I come into this place on Sunday so everybody will know I'm one of them. Where's the sign-up sheet? But this isn't that, because you've set out with the old. You're a Christian. Everything you do for Jesus should be done giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus, Colossians 3:17, and for no other reason. Sometimes it's easy to get caught up more in service than in the one we're serving, and we've got to stay out with the old. We can't put our trust in the old ways. Something else we can't do. We can't say, well, I just realized all my new Christian friends, they're not going to get along at all with my reckless New Year's Eve party lifestyle. After all, I am Roy Smith. I'm just going to have to put some distance between me and the church because the old me was way more fun than church me. No, we don't say that, but we see that. And that's not going to work either. That's not going to work either because you've said out with the old, you're a Christian. The old you was gone at baptism. The new you follows Christ. Romans 6, 9-11. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Christ follower, he goes on to say, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The old is gone. The old ways are gone. You can't do both. We can't put our trust in our old ways as new creatures. This old workaholic that has worked, that guy's gone at baptism. You've been made alive to God in Christ Jesus. The old reckless party animal, that person's gone at baptism. You've been made alive to God in Christ Jesus. This goes for the whole list. The old addict, the old gossip, the old liar, the old backstabber, the old sinner of any capacity. That's just not you anymore. That's not who you are. John Jasper, black slave preacher of the mid-1880s, once said, if you is what you was, then you ain't. If you is what you was, then you ain't. Praise God that if we've been immersed in Jesus, if we're born of water and of the Spirit, we're new creations. 20th century philosopher, sometimes of questionable theology, John Lennon once said, it's just like starting over. He's very right in this case. Out with the old, in with the new. But maybe you're thinking, okay, but how do I do that? How do I trust in what's been done for me and still do what I'm supposed to do? How are new creatures supposed to respond to their calling? What is an honest to goodness Christian lifestyle supposed to look like? You know, I can think of no better answer for this set of questions than Acts 2:42. Acts 2:42 is the scriptural blueprint for all Christians. If you want to turn there with me in your Bibles, I don't have it on the overhead this morning. But Acts 2:42, or if you just want to jot that down and take it with you and bring it up later at home in your private study. See, there are four things mentioned in Acts 2:42 which new Christians, biblically speaking, are called to continue. This is the new church right here, right after Pentecost, right after baptism, Holy Spirit. What next? It says, Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Let's go through those again. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So when we become Christians, this is the basis of the new. These four things. As we continue our Christian life, this is the basis for the Christian life. Everything else we do in some way should connect to these four. And I think sometimes we get confused in the church about that, about what comes next. I think sometimes we think the Christian life means we get to continue living exactly the way we've always lived, but just come to worship on Sunday. But there's a new Christian formula to follow. There really is. And here it is. Have we burned out on the way we've done church? Maybe we haven't followed the formula. Have we fallen back into our old ways after we've started following Jesus? It's easy to do. Maybe we haven't followed the formula. For the New Testament church, the formula includes time in the Word, time with other Christians, time at the communion table, and time with the Father. That's what the church did. That's what the church does. I'm serious. Call this the Acts 2:42 prescription for Christian training. Now, I'm not saying Acts 2:42 saves a person. We're not talking the plan of salvation, and I'm also not talking about the Christian mission. This isn't Matthew 28, go teach baptized. What we're talking about is what will keep us close to the one who has saved us. It's right here, Acts 2:42. It's right here. You know, it's good enough for the early church of Christ, and it's good enough for this church of Christ. Good enough for any church that is Christ's. So as we move forward, as we consider this in with the new, out with the old, in with the new, if we desire to be spiritually successful in the new, it's imperative. It is imperative that we seek time in the Word, time with other Christians, time at the communion table, in corporate worship, and time with the Father in prayer. This is simply the centuries-old, tried-and-true formula for how new creatures will function. And it can't be tampered with. Can't be tampered with. What happens if you do something different with a recipe? Leave out the mustard. Have you ever left out the mustard? Oh, it turns out terrible, whatever you're making. If you tamper with a formula, you don't end up with the real thing, right? Some of you may remember the following example of formula tampering. This is a 20th century pop culture example, actually from soda pop culture, to be precise. Maybe you remember this. On April 23, 1985, a date that will go down in infamy, the Coca-Cola Company did the unthinkable. Maybe you remember this. They announced a change to the century-old Coca-Cola formula. As one news source recounts, this new upcoming 1985 Coke would have a smoother, sweeter taste, similar to Diet Coke, but sweetened with corn syrup. Market researchers were sure it would be a hit. Coca-Cola was the number one soft drink at the time, but Pepsi was gaining ground. Pepsi was gaining ground and cutting into Coke's profits a bit, and Coke wanted an edge up on Pepsi. So did this new Coke formula change give the Coca-Cola company the edge that they were looking for of the competition? No. No, it did not. It didn't. News source goes on. Poll after new Coke's launch showed that only 13% of soda drinkers liked change. That's only slightly better than the New Year's resolution statistic. Only 13% of soda drinkers like the change. Pepsi countered New Coke by mocking Coca-Cola in their advertising, and Coke drinkers, they were in a state of emergency. They launched grassroots campaigns and set up petitions to force Coca-Cola to bring back the original Coke. It just wasn't the real thing. My daddy had a stand-up quarter-operated Coca-Cola machine in our living room. You better believe I remember it. The 1980s, and the news for me as I remember them was, Iran-Contra, Michael Jackson, the Challenger shuttle, and New Coke. Lots of good news. But there was good news for Coke connoisseurs. On June 11, 1985, Coca-Cola announced via press conference that the original formula would be once again made available to consumers as Coca-Cola Classic alongside New Coke. They, in retrospect, had learned a valuable lesson, as one spokesperson for the company put it via PR. It was fiercely loyal consumers and not the company that owned Coca-Cola and its brands. Or, you can't change the Coke formula and still call it Coca-Cola. It's just not the same. And you can't change the Christian formula and still call yourself a Christian. You just won't be the same. But we try. We try to change the formula, don't we? We sacrifice plenty of time we could be spending in the Word for other things, good things, positive things, maybe sports things, maybe travel things. Yet, and we wonder why we lose our taste in time for the things of God. We give up time with other Christians, time with those who can build us up, hold us accountable, for time with worldly acquaintances sometimes, maybe people who think we're wasting our time for getting up and going to that boring church every Sunday morning. We wonder then why the newness of Sunday worship wears off after a few weeks. We give up time in communion, time at this table, time with our Lord in the same way. The breaking of bread as the early Christians practiced it on the first day of the week. That's very much intended to be practiced each Sunday. Still, when the Christian who is a member of, let's say, Ferris Church of Christ fails to come to Ferris Church of Christ on any given Sunday, they're giving up time with other Christians or the fellowship, but they're also missing the breaking of bread. Time at this table, 1 Corinthians 11. Now, I'm not saying that missing Sunday worship, missing communion on occasion, sickness, travel, family emergency, it's going to rob you of your faith, send you to hell. I'm not saying that going to church makes you a Christian. I didn't say that. But the more we give up time and fellowship, time and communion with the local church, that's each other. That's each other. That's all of us. The easier it will be for us to do so. The easier it's going to be for us to do so. If you're a Christian, you're going to want to be in fellowship with the local church or body of believers as often as you can. It's part of the formula. Part of the formula for success. Most important, and we don't want to leave this out, last but certainly not least, is our time in prayer. Without time with God in prayer, it's not possible for Him to continue making us new creatures. So 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Christian, to pray without ceasing. It's all part of the new. Out with the old, in with the new. And here's the kicker with this in with the new. It's a process. It's a process. We like to think we check a box and we're done, but in with the new is a process. It begins at the point of baptism, and it continues as Jesus works on us until the day we stand before Him. We don't just become a Christian like the seconds just fade into New Year 2018. In with the new is an auld lang syne that is designed to continue well into kingdom come. But maybe there's still some of those old ways hanging. Some of those old ways hanging on as we're trying to live new life in Jesus, take our rest in the finished work for us. You know, maybe 2017 just keeps rearing its ugly head in our spiritual lives long after that ball drops. What are some of these old ways of the flesh? What are they? What are some of these old ways that can quench the activity of the Holy Spirit? Here's a big one. You know, at the end of the day, my friends, what do you truly value? What do you truly value? The things you possess or He who possesses you? Earthly treasures. This doesn't work. Where does your money go, my friend, if it's not going to the poor and the needy around you? 1 Corinthians 10. Because when you became a Christian, that old hobby or that old collection or that old whatever must now be reconsidered for the new, reevaluated for the new. Living our lives not for more of this world, but for heaven alone. But here's another old way I want to touch on briefly. I think even more than workaholism of the old way, the old world, even more than materialism of the old way, of the old world, you know, even more than maybe some poor lifestyle choices, here comes a fourth way. Here comes a fourth way. Just going through the motions. Just going through the motions. Let's face it. Going through the motions, it can kill a church. If a congregation is already dying, going through the motions can finish a church off. Because we just get so used to what we do, don't we? We get used to what we do. Think about it. Think about it with me. It's Sunday morning. It's 10:30. Here comes the countdown. The overhead goes up. Cell phones are supposed to go off. They don't all go off. Some of them do. Josh comes forward. Maybe he reads from a psalm. Worship starts. We stand and sing some songs. Then we sit. Communion song is sung. We have a meditation time. That's offering time. Then we have a special time. Then Josh yaps at us for 25 minutes. That's everybody's favorite part. Then it's invitation time. We have someone come forward to receive. We sing a final song. Then we walk out the church doors and we still wonder why there hasn't been a Cracker Barrel restaurant set up next door. Question plagues me every week. I've even got that down to the motions, you know. And I love the worship service. I'm not being cynical here. I love the worship service that we've arranged from week to week. I'm not putting it down. We've got a group of people that work incredibly hard to bring this together at the board and up here on stage. And we want to create an environment for worship of our great God. That's our goal. But let's be honest about something. If we check our hearts at the door when we come into this place at 10:30, what are we really truly doing but going through the motions? And it doesn't matter what order we do them in, right? And so I urge you, in this place, out of this place, moment by moment, moment by moment, fellow Christians, be with God, your Creator, for the moment. Because that's why you were immersed in Jesus in the first place. That's why you became a Christian. You were reconciled by Him to be with Him. We don't just put Him in our back pocket. And that's the difference between the same old, that same old, and the new life. In the new life, we have this written guarantee. A written guarantee. I'd grab my Bible, but all I have here are hymnals. But we have a written guarantee that in Christ you belong to God. And in fact, already have with you His indwelling Holy Spirit. That's pretty neat. There's nothing else like that in the old world. And so we need to live like it. Live for it. We have a world that is telling us after we pass through these doors, we're just punching the clock of religion, right? And it's easy to follow into that. We went and did the church thing today, that's good enough for us. But simply going through Christian motions kills Christian emotion. Author Francis Schaeffer wrote, "Thank God for the reality for which we were created. A moment by moment communication with God Himself to the world." He goes on to say, this being the case, there's no mechanical solution to the true Christian life. Anything that has the mark of the mechanical upon it is a mistake. And so, my friends, may we consider 2018 as we look forward, the year of the Christ follower. Going through the motions is so 2017, right? At one point in my time on Google, I don't spend my whole week on Google, I promise, but, you know, it's great. The one thing about writing sermons in this day and age is you don't have to have a table full of books. You know, you have a computer and a phone, and that'll probably get you where you need to go. But at my time spent Googling, I found an interesting and I think kind of pertinent online article. It detailed the rise and decline of this Midwestern antique store. And I just wanted to share the highlights of this article with you briefly as we close. This antique store, this business, when it opened up in the 1970s, it had 35,000 square feet of stock. That's a lot of stock, right? 35,000 square feet. Now, just a few years ago, it downsized. It had to downsize. It went to a mere 13,000 square feet. Just recently, it decided to close its doors. After decades of buying and selling antique furniture, this store is now liquidating. Why is that? Why is the store liquidating? Well, the business owner reports that though people still like collectibles, They still like collectibles. They're actually more into, quote, mid-century retro. Mid-century retro is more the thing. The lesson is, let's face it, everybody likes items of sentimental value that they had and lost long ago, right? Everybody likes that. But nobody just wants a bunch of old junk. Nobody just wants a bunch of old junk. So if we're in Christ, if we're Christians, we've got that which we had and lost long ago, but without all the old junk. The old is gone. When we come up out of these waters of baptism, what's passing has passed. We're new people, new creatures, new creations. God has taken us back. He's made us new again. So what can we do now but live in the new and then pass it along, show it off to someone else still stuck in the old ways? Amen? What more can we do? I want to wish you a very, very happy new year as we celebrate it. In Christ, you're a new creature tomorrow and for eternity. Friends, would you pray with me? Lord, I pray as we look into new days ahead, for there are always new days, that you would continue to be the reason for all that we do. Lord, as we've come out of this Christmas season and a time in which we specifically remember your coming to us, Lord, I pray that you would convict our hearts. Convict us, Lord, that you haven't gone anywhere, but that we are still new creatures because of your coming, because of the mercy and the grace that you've brought to us, because of what you've done for us on the cross. Lord, help us to remember that we're called to respond to you. We are called to act. But Lord, help us remember that that acting, it must come from you. Help us to remember that all that we have and all that we are is because of you, because of your love, and your mercy and grace for us. Lord, we're so thankful for our written word. Lord, we're so thankful for Scripture, which is our guide. Which is our guide all the way home. And Lord, help us to remember to open it up and to live by it. To not just tuck it away, but to remember that there's a new way. Lord, for too long, we've tried to live by the law. For too long, we failed. Help us, God, to live by grace, moment by moment, day by day, so that we may go to this world that's stuck in the old, that's headed for hell, and bring them the hope of heaven. It is in the name of Jesus I pray these things, amen. Friends, if you haven't yet made a commitment to the one who makes all things new, we're going to invite you to come forward this morning, to be immersed into Christ. That's where it all begins. Living that Acts 2 life, being that Acts 2 church, coming up out of those waters of baptism, and then trusting in the grace and living those lives, those real Christian lives. If you haven't yet begun that journey, we invite you to do so. Or if you have another public decision you'd like to make today, maybe you'd like to place your membership here with Ferris Church. Maybe you're already an immersed Christian and you just want to say, hey, I want to worship with these people and make this my church home. We invite you to do that. Brother Gerald is going to come forward. And I forgot to ask him, so I'm glad he remembered. He's going to come forward as we stand and sing The Church, all about we being the change because of Jesus. The world is waiting for it. Would you stand and sing?